Hi there, Billy Hindle here, the voice of Alice Dyer in the Magnus Protocol. As part of the Magnus Archive's 10th anniversary, Rusty Quill is hosting a special Magnus Live show at the upcoming Crossed Wires Podcast Festival in Sheffield. Join co-creators Jonathan Sims and Alexander J. Newell on the 5th of July for a new iteration of our live show, Statement Begins, where you can hear fan-favourite statements such as Anglerfish, Red Live, and gain exclusive insights into the creation and history of the show straight from the creators themselves. You can buy your tickets now, including limited numbers of meet and greet tickets, from crossedwires.live or the link in the description of this episode.
This episode is dedicated to Sarah Anna Ballard, and I just wanted to say I absolutely love this series and everything you've done. You guys are an inspiration to me, and I always look forward to seeing more of your content. Keep it up. Rusty Quill presents The Magnus Protocol. Episode 14, Pet Project.
How's the new blend?
Oof, vicious.
Excellent. Chocolate light lit.
The good stuff. I'm honored.
Damn right you are. So, how's tricks?
Not bad.
You?
Same old. Been anywhere good recently?
Yeah, well, you know.
Do I? Oh, the gate. Yeah, I was going to ask you about that, actually.
Oh, yeah.
So, how was it?
It was good. No, it was good. It's just, well...
Just?
We mostly talked about work.
Oh, Sam.
You know what he's like. He's a sweet guy, but he can just be a bit...
Infuriating?
Intense sometimes.
Yeah. What were you actually talking about? He's been worked up about the job ever since you two went out. It's like watching a dog with a toffee. Funny at first, but it's hard not to worry.
We were just speculating on what the actual deal is. You know, the big why.
Sure, I went through the same thing when I started.
I mean, it wasn't all work.
Let me guess. Discount roses, 2-for-1 sushi and a split cab home before 9. That sort of thing.
I'm more of a Lily's gal.
A woman after my own heart. Well, don't be too hard on him. He tries his best, he's just a bit naff sometimes.
I'm sure you'll do better next time.
Yeah. Oh, cool.
Listen, Alice.
Here we go.
Is this going to be a problem?
Golly gosh, I hope not.
I'm serious. You need to tell me if you're going to have an issue with us. I don't know what the deal was between you, but I'm not interested in getting tangled up in workplace drama.
The only drama is the dilemma of how I could possibly get by without you all to myself.
Alice,
I'm too intimidated by your genius intellect and desperately hot-bod and think we should just stay friends. I couldn't agree more. And on that note, I'm going to head off before I make you any more in love with me. Just try to restrain yourself, yeah? Sam's masculinity is already hanging by a thread.
Sure.
Good evening, Sam. How are you getting on?
Yeah, good. Great. Thank you. Getting into the groove.
I'm glad to hear it.
Was there something else?
Have you seen Gwen tonight?
I've not, I'm afraid. But if I do, I'll send her your way.
See that you do. Thank you, Sam.
Sure. Okay.
Treatment report. Elemapest Limited. Attending technician, Alyssa Beck. Date, 01-08-1995. Job number, 8146. Client contact, Anthony Walker. Property type, commercial. Address, Resounding Reptile Emporium, Hartshill, Newcastle-under-Lyme. Follow-up required? Yes. Report type? Call-out. Note. Follow-up postponed until location of attending technician determined. Initial assessment, 15:30. Call-out received from dispatch at 15:05 to attend the property. Client reported that a rat had been spotted in the shop's break room. Upon arrival, I met with the proprietor. Shopkeeper was concerned about the potential of fleas or ticks brought in by the rodent. He had clear red slash sore patches around his neck from itching. I assured him that, unless he had come into close contact, it was unlikely that he had been bitten or suffered from parasite transference. Most likely psychosomatic phantom bites as an effect of the current heat wave. Worth noting, however, that the strong odour of the shop indicates that the IAQ of the Reptile Emporium is likely below recommendations. Follow-up probably required. I suspect that due to the heat and humidity of the shop, mosquitoes may be present, which might also be the source of the shopkeeper's skin irritation. The Resounding Reptile Emporium backs onto a marshy nature reserve, which increases this risk, although none spotted during initial inspection. Requested shop be cleared of customers for full inspection. Client's agitation increased, presumably due to business worries, resulting in a brief altercation. Kept mentioning his burden and grabbing at my sleeve. Received slight scratch by accident, but no escalation or violence, so no need for full incident report. Although anyone following up should be advised, there may be a mental health problem. Inspection, 15:41. Break room situated in an annex separated from the main shop by a formerly external door. Adequate barrier between main shop and affected area. Customers vacated from premises by client. Multiple uncovered food sources present in break room. Open bin containing various unfinished food items and empty frozen mice packets, snake food, presumably. Discarded crisp and sweet wrappers on countertops. Even with the window open, there is a strong smell of spoiled food. Recommended consideration, sealed waste disposal and food storage. Ants spotted in and around cabinets. Follow-up required for treatment if full infestation identified. Further inspection, 15:50. Found cylindrical droppings with sheared ends, indicating squirrel. Minimal volume, likely just the one. Woodland area and trees directly outside break room window. Recommended prevention, mesh grate over window to prevent further ingress. Squirrel discovered on overhead cabinets. Window left fully opened to aid exit. Area sealed. Treatment, 16:10. Retrieved live capture trap from van. Customers granted re-entry to shop floor. During room preparation, small hole discovered between wall of break room and adjacent room. Used by squirrel as point of egress. Adjacent room locked, key requested and signed out with client. Hole sealed. Summary, 16:30. Squirrel found among storage boxes and captured alive with trap. Will seal ingress hole after removal. Captured squirrel appears lethargic, likely injured or poisoned. Remove... Police aren't here yet. They say any minute, but I don't think it'll matter. I can hear the operator on the phone, but it's just noise. Snakes. Thousands of them. How could he keep so many in there? Dad, this is for you, for everything you taught me, everything you shared. I need you to know what happened, and I know you'll believe me. Don't blame yourself for not answering the phone. It's not your fault. It's not your fault. The other room, the one the squirrel escaped to, the one I'm in now, it's a sort of makeshift CCTV office. Just a storage closet, really. All the cameras show the shop interior. Just after I caught the damn thing, when I was about to head out, something caught my eye on the screen. I wasn't being nosy, I promise, it was just there, I couldn't help but notice. The client, the guy who owns the shop, he was reaching over the counter, grabbing at a customer while their daughter stood crying nearby. I recognized the girl, or at least the toy gosling she was holding, remembered how she looked at her dad when I told the two of them to wait outside. It reminded me of us. It's selfish how I wish you were here now, Dad. When I unsealed the shop floor, the shopkeeper seemed obsessed with continuing his sales pitch to the pair. He was adamant that they purchase a snake and pretty much ignored me entirely. It made me a bit uneasy, so I hung back to watch. Thinking back, I should have noticed he was off. As I watched the monitor, the shopkeeper suddenly lunged forward, clearing the desk, smashing the glass on his way with a crash I heard even through the closed door, leaving him sprawling among the crickets previously boxed on the shelf behind him. They were jumping, flowing, twitching, thousands of them just juddering pixels on the monitor. But the noise was palpable, punching through the wall like a fist. I grabbed my phone and called the police. I should have gone out there and helped, but I was scared. I just couldn't. I started to explain over the phone, and they said something back, but I wasn't listening. On the screen, I could see the customer had scrambled to his feet, and he and his daughter were nearly out of the entrance. The shopkeeper lunged one last time, and that's when I noticed he'd started to change. He was bloated, swollen around the neck. The door slammed in his face, and as he stumbled backwards, something fell from his mouth. I couldn't make it out, though. The screen was so fuzzy, and it was just a blur. Moments passed with no noise except the screaming crickets and my own thudding heartbeat. The shopkeeper lay completely prone. He hadn't moved at all, and I wondered if the fall had knocked him out, cracked his skull or something. Then there was movement near his head, and he began to twitch and spasm. I thought it might be a seizure, but then his mouth began to open, wider and wider, impossibly wide, his jawbones snapping with the strain. And then a horde of slender shapes slithered out. Snakes, Dad. Thousands of them. All from inside him, pushing up through his deflating throat. The floor was lost beneath the heaving, writhing mass of them. I could hear the scrape of their scales on the linoleum, but they made no other sound. Then the owner's body began to slide across the floor towards the closed door between us. It took me a moment to realize his body was being pulled over the broken glass and debris, carried on the creature's backs towards me. I got the door locked just in time. This room, it's a mess. Printouts, delivery notes, a bunch of rejection letters from some institute he pinned to the wall with a kitchen knife. And it's hot in here, Dad. Too hot. Oh God, I can feel it. My throat is swelling and it itches. I can still hear all the snakes brushing up against the door and in the walls, I think. Christ, they're in the walls. Oh God, I forgot about the hole. I love you, Dad.
No. Could be any institute.
The letters.
Jesus! Don't sneak up on people like that.
I didn't sneak up. It's not my fault if you're distracted.
When did you get here?
Just now. Seems pretty straightforward to me. Snakes? Not sure what the collective noun is. Horde, maybe? Cross-linked with infection, too, probably. I wouldn't have thought the letters have any bearing on the classification.
Right. Yeah. Thanks.
You can check the binder yourself, though. I've got other stuff to do.
Yeah. Oh, hey, speaking of, Lena was after you.
When?
Dunno, a few minutes ago. She seemed, not happy.
Is she ever? What did you tell her?
Nothing. Just that I hadn't seen you. Something wrong?
Nothing you can help with.
Listen, Gwen...
Just leave it, all right? Focus on your cases. You wouldn't understand.
Of course not.
That's not... don't have time for this.
No one ever does.
Magnus Protocol is a podcast distributed by Rusty Quill and licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Sharealike 4.0 International License. The series is created by Jonathan Sims and Alexander J. Newell, and directed by Alexander J. Newell. This episode was written by Sean Pellington and edited with additional materials by Jonathan Sims and Alexander J. Newell, with vocal edits by Lorianne Davis, soundscaping by Tessa Vroom, and mastering by Catherine Ranella, with music by Sam Jones. It featured Billy Hindle as Alice Dyer, Shahan Hamza as Samama Khalid, Anuja Battersby as Gwen Bouchard, Lorianne Davis as Celia Ripley, Sarah Lambie as Lena Kelly, with additional voices from Jonathan Sims. The Magnus Protocol is produced by April Sumner, with executive producers Alexander J. Newell, Danny McDonough, Lynn C., and Samantha F.G. Hamilton, and associate producers Jordan L. Hawk, Taylor Michaels, Nicole Perlman, C.T. Esteraven, and Megan Nice. To subscribe, view associated materials, or join our Patreon, visit rustyquill.com. Rate and review us online, tweet us at The Rusty Quill, visit us on Facebook or email us at mail@rustyquill.com. Thanks for listening.
Hey, Sean Pellington here, the writer of the episode you've just listened to. I hope you thoroughly enjoyed it. If you did, and you'd like to hear more of my work, be sure to check out my show, Wake of Corrosion, an apocalyptic thriller that follows a story of two brothers who inadvertently find themselves in a world filled with eldritch horrors and bizarre occurrences. You can listen to Wake of Corrosion by following the link in the show notes below, or by visiting rustyquill.com. Enjoy. To give you an idea of the show, here's a quick trailer.
The recent, and as of yet unnamed, events have completely changed life as we know it.
The whole place, it's covered in blood.
From where a human chest would be, these bony, finger-like appendages stretched out.
There's something at the vent.
Oh, Jesus, grab your stuff.
What is that?
Does it freaking matter? Grab your stuff.
Those people, those monsters I saw the other day, I think they followed me here.
Billy Hindle here, the voice of Alice in the Magnus Protocol, and I'm here to tell you about From the Library of Jürgen Leitner, an upcoming novel available for pre-order right now at rustyquill.com/novel. Return to the world of the Magnus Archives in From the Library of Jürgen Leitner, an official prequel novel written by Nebula, World Fantasy, and Aurora award-winning author Premi Mohammed, with the help of the Magnus Archives' own writer and lead voice, Jonathan Sims. From the Library of Jürgen Leitner explores an infamous organization from the Magnusverse for the first time, the perilous private library of the enigmatic collector Jürgen Leitner, where occult books are guarded and researched at a fatal cost. Leitner's library keeps the dangers of these books in check and their would-be readers safe, or so Leitner claims. For two of Leitner's employees, the risks are worth it. For Hugh Franklin, the library is a place to belong. For Sebastian Everett, the library is an opportunity to indulge arcane ambitions. Though their 10 years at the library were years apart, Hugh and Sebastian's stories unfold in parallel, and their footsteps echo down the same eerie aisles, caught in a web spun long before either ever heard the name Jürgen Leitner. Will they find a way out, or will the library consume them before it's too late? From the Library of Jürgen Leitner will be published on October 27th, 2020. And is available for pre-order now. Visit rustyquill.com/novel for more information. That's rustyquill.com/novel.